Well, good morning again, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Thank y'all for the ones that came out. We thank you for the ones that are here. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence. I thank you that it's all of you and none of me. Speak to my mind and speak to my vocal cords, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your word being here today. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And God, you're welcome in this place. And Father God, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to talk about something that I want to finish up today and add on some things. I can go on this for a long period of time. But I want to talk about righteousness part two. Because next after that, we're going to daddy teach you next Sunday. Righteousness, the power of righteousness, and we're going to go on some more when it comes to understanding what righteousness is. How many of you know that? And just to review, I want you to go to, in the review, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when you have, say amen. It says, for he had made him to be sin, which who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. So when he said, for he had made him to be sin, who is he talking about? Talking about who? Jesus, right? Jesus came and died on the cross and allowed us and set us free and allowed us again to be made righteous. We know that, and I'm going to go scriptures as well to show you that the person that made us unable to have connection with God was Adam. Adam was the one that entered into sin, and God wanted that connection back with mankind. And so he had to come up with a strategy, a plan. How many know God has a plan and a strategy in everything he has in life? There's a purpose, there's a strategy, there's a plan that God has for us. So he had to come up with a plan. And the plan he came up with, he said, well, we have to get people connected. My people, I missed them. We had Adam. We once was connected. We had an audible connection with God. I mean, with them. Now I need that connection back. So Jesus and God came up with this plan. The plan they came up with was Jesus had to be the one that would be the ultimate sacrifice that came and died on the cross for our sins and allowing us to come back to God, to that connection. That whole purpose of the cross that allowed us to be connected back to God. But that is what makes us righteous. Like I said before, remember I told you about the right angle, God, Jesus, you are you, Jesus, God. I need to write that down. But when you have that elbow, that Jesus, that is the one that's going to make you connected back to God. You're not righteous by your own deeds. You're not righteous by being, just say, I'm a good person. Nothing wrong with being a good person. Nothing wrong with doing good things. But if you're not righteous through Christ, you're not righteous. And I'm letting you know today that what brings you success in life in any aspect is when you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. He sets you free. And I'm going to give you stories today. At the end, I'm going to give you a power story of someone in the Bible who once they met Christ, they wasn't the same anymore. Once they came in contact with Jesus, their life began to change as an individual. You have to say, so why do I need Christ? If I have Christ, if I don't have Christ, there's an empty void missing. But when you really have Christ in your life, this is the evidence that Christ is really starting to be in your life is when you began to what? Change. And you don't be the same person that you once was before. That's evidence that Christ is dwelling in you and living in you. Say that with me. I am made righteous through Christ. So when you're righteous through Christ, now it's something that I'm going to show you. Go to, and I'm just going to hit it quick and we're going to hit some things. Remember, I told you during this time, read Romans, what, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And you understand things more. Because when you come here, I say this, when you come get the word and you come to church on Sunday, that's good. But if you come expecting something, you will get revelation knowledge from the word of God, and it'll grow in your heart, and you'll start understanding things more when you come with the expectation of it. If you come in unbelief, like, oh, I just got to go to church, you know. But if you come hungry, expecting, he said, when you're hungry, he'll fill you. When you thirst, those that thirst after the righteousness, he said, they shall be filled. When you're seeking to want to know God through Christ, because what I'm seeking more, yes, I want a more relationship with Christ, but I want to be in God's divine plan for my life that brings success in every aspect. See, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So when you're learning about Jesus, even if some things don't go the way you quite understand, if you have Christ in you, he can bring an enlightenment to your life to show you a plan that he has you to go down. A righteous person. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're talking about the power of being righteous. Good morning. Romans chapter, power of being. Why are you righteous? You're righteous through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you become righteous. But Romans chapter 6, why did Jesus die on the cross for our sins? To set us free, to be connected back to God, so you can have relationship with God, to talk to God. Romans chapter 6, and I'm reading this and we're going to go through some things. So you read Romans, this homework for you. Read Romans chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, because you understand, why should I be righteous? Why should I live right when it comes to God? Because when God comes inside you, the evidence of Christ in you, you began to change. Something in you different. When someone says they saved and then they meet God and something's not changing, I'm concerned, did you really meet Christ? When you meet Christ, he brings a change in you. Things you would do wrong, you say, I just can't do those things no more because Christ is living in you. Go to Romans chapter 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? No, I'm sorry. Go to Romans chapter 5. That's 6. Go to Romans chapter 5. And I want you to read it on your own time. But I'm going to read this again so you hear it, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is giving unto us. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for what? The ungodly. Christ died for the what? Ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. So I'm going to say this. If you don't know Christ and you don't have him in you, even though you have good deeds, somebody say, I don't cheat on my wife. I don't lie. I don't do those good things. But I'm letting you know, if you don't have Christ in you, you're not righteous. You need to have him in you to have those righteous things. He died for the ungodly. So Jesus died on the cross to set us free. Romans chapter 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man one even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, here we go again, Christ died for us. Now, much more that being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Through who? Through Jesus. What wrath can you be saved from? The wrath of, that's that speaker. The wrath, of course, going to hell, but also the wrath of, guess what? When you in Christ, you have the most successful person dwelling in you now. Everything you touch with Christ in you, you should be successful with it, because now you have the inner power to have success what's going on in this world. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Now you have a power of all power to overcome anything that comes in this world. I'm not saying you won't go through something. You will go through things in life. But a person that don't have Christ has less strength than someone who does have Christ spiritually.
Somebody might have physical strength, work out every day. I'm physical, I'm in shape. That's good. But let me tell you something. Spiritually, if you don't have a connection with God, if the devil comes in your house, he'll whoop you up spiritually. You might have the physical strength. You may have strength and you think, I'm big, I can lift 500 pounds, I can do all this. But spiritually, if you don't have God in you, if the devil comes to your house to whoop you, he's going to destroy you. And a lot of time, I'm not talking about walking in looking like a bear, scaring you, depression, worry, fear, anxiety. And you wonder how you're going to get out of those situations. You're like, how can I get out of this? With Christ in you, he gives you what? Hope. With Christ in you, he gives you what? Peace. With Christ in you, he gives you what? Joy. So when you have Christ in you, that now gives you the righteous ability to overcome whatever the devil tried to come your way. Christ is in you. Say it with me. Christ is in me. Say it again. Christ is in me. So if you have Christ in you, there's an ability in you to succeed in every aspect of this world. Go to 1 John 4, 4. I'm going to show you something. See, when you have Christ in you, I want you to show you that you have one of the greatest abilities in you. Jesus died on the cross and set you free, but you got power living and breathing on the inside of you now that can bring you success to overcome whatever comes in this world. 1 John 4, 4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He says, greater is he, greater. Say that with me. Greater is, say this with me. Greatness is in me. So what's in the world? See, greater than what's in the world. See, it's amazing how sometimes church folk, religious folk, because I grew up in religion, don't like religion. I like relationship with God. Religious folks say, the world, that means you can't wear no makeup and you go around looking ugly. That ain't worldly. Some folks need makeup. Worldly is when you don't understand what God has for you and you depend on the world more than you depend on God. See that? When you have God in you, it says greater is he that's within you. So if God is in me, Christ is in me, when things come my way to try to stop me from succeeding, I know I have a greater power in me to overcome it. Everything that I've been through in life and some things I've been through have God, but now I know that I have a greater power living in me to overcome whatever comes you in this world. So greater is he that's within me, Christ in me, than he what that's in the world. If you know that it's in you, when things try to bring you down and think you can't, you know with God in you, you will what? Win. With God in you, you will overcome. With Christ in you, the hope of glory, there's an answer to the problem. You won't think about giving up all the time. Sometimes that will come your way, but something will rise up in you and say, wait a minute, I got God in me. I got the answer to every problem in me. I got the man that created this world. I got the man that created the universe. I was outside looking at stuff because I was working at my yard yesterday. And we, you know, came out, I had put some lights on and stuff. But I had saw the moon, how the sun was shining on the moon. You got a different type moon, you know, the crescent moon, all that. But I saw the half a moon, and I just was amazed as I looked and saw the moon and saw how it looked. And I said, you know what? If someone don't think that God don't exist, they don't understand how good God is. Because when I saw that, how many times y'all could be out when you see it rain and you see a rainbow come up and show? That thing's the evidence of showing that God is alive and well and breathing. But I want to show you today, and I'm showing you through the word of God, as a righteous person, you have a right to talk to God through Jesus. I'm reviewing it with y'all because y'all just came in. God gave me this like a right angle in math. God here, Jesus, and you. God, Jesus, you. God, Jesus, you. So if you're right here and you go through Jesus to get to God, that's the power you have. God, Jesus, you. But you can't eliminate Jesus and say, I'm just going to go straight to God. Jesus made you have the ability to have that righteousness now to connect to God, to have a right for God to bless your life because of Jesus. The plan that Jesus came up with, like I said before, when Jesus died on the cross for our sin, that was a strategic plan. Adam had sinned. He had messed up. No one, he couldn't talk back to God because of what Adam and Eve had done.
So God had to come up with a plan. And the plan he came up with was, he said, I got to send someone on the earth to die for your sins, for this, and then bring them back to me. Who was that person? Jesus, right? So Jesus came up with a plan. He died on the cross for us, allowed us to have access back to God through Jesus of him dying. And now that makes you righteous. Now, that's why I'm telling you, read the Bible. Read Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Because all it is talking about when I read it now is understanding who Jesus is. And once you start understanding all who Jesus is, now you get to a point that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and you shall be saved. Once you understand who Jesus is, who the Son sets free is free indeed. What are you free from? Yeah, you're not going to hell. It's not a hell message. But you're free from poverty. You're free from sickness. You're free from all those things when Jesus came to set you free. He wants you away from that. Everywhere Jesus showed up, when Jesus showed up on the scene, what happened? If somebody was blind, he made them see. When somebody was going through something and the man's arm was withered up, he touched it and he straightened it out. Every time they came in contact with Jesus, he made things that looked impossible what? Possible. It could be something you stand on. See, we say this stuff at church. It's stuff I'm working on in my life that in somebody else's own ability, it looks impossible. Well, with God, it could be what? Possible. I want you to think dreams you ain't never dreamed before. Sometimes the biggest belief, unbelief is what? You not believing in yourself that you can do it. But let me tell you something. There's a God, it was a time, and a God did with me. I started saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a strength in me that's bigger than Terry. There's a strength that I can go to that's bigger than what I can believe. And if you have that in you, you will start succeeding in life more and not listening to what everybody else says about you. As a righteous person, you have a right to be successful. Say it. I have a right to be successful. Say it. Say it one more time. I have a what? Right to be successful. As a Christian, you should be at the top of your class. As a Christian, you should be a business owner and be number one. As a Christian, you should have things that succeed in life. As Christians, we don't sit down with our head down, worried and doubtful and think God can't. I know God can. That's one of the reasons you have a right to be connected to God through Jesus. If you knew how much power you really had as a born-again believer, you would execute that power more. You would pray more. You would read your word more and get understanding that I'm getting empowerment from God so I can succeed on this physical earth. That's the reason. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. I'm going to show you some things while you're in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. It says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So if you know, so if you're not born of him, are you righteous? No. Born of him means born again. Born of him, it means you accepted Christ. Born of my nieces here. I mean, one time we was in them apartments and she was younger and we was listening to spiritual music and all that. And I said, Angelique, you want to get born again? Angelique said, yeah, Uncle Terry, I want to get saved. And she confessed Christ as her Lord and personal Savior at a young age. So when you're born of Christ, you have something in your heart that everybody else don't have. You have peace in your heart. You have joy in your heart. You have a pep in your step that comes from God. So when you have that love in you that comes from God through Jesus, this world is designed to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's the purpose for Jesus. Having a relationship with him, showing you how to succeed. He can give you answers to anything in your life. What's amazing, if God is the God of the world, if God made everything that exists, everything you see, God may have told a person to do it or gave them the idea whether they acknowledge him or not, but God allowed things to happen on this earth so we could be successful. If you can get back to that connection to God and hear God's voice, what level of success that you cannot have? That's amazing. You have a right to be successful. Say it again. I have a right to be successful. Say it.
So when you start seeing and believing that, that God is with me, whatever I go through, God is with me, I can overcome it in any aspect. Go to Romans chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. I'm just going to show you some stuff. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. You're not supposed to be down, defeated as a born-again believer. You're supposed to be successful, winning, developing. Like I always tell you, the devil is afraid of a Christian who's developed. That's why he don't want you to keep coming to church, a church where you're growing. I ain't talking about you going to church and they just hollering and screaming and the word going for. But a church where you're going and growing, he don't want you to get developed, because if you start getting developed, you start succeeding on this earth. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. I like this, what I wrote here. It's something I'm standing on. It says, but the path of the just is as a shining light, but shineth more and more until the perfect day. But the path of the just, what's the just? Declared righteous. The path of the just. How many of y'all know that God can give you a path that can bring you success on this earth, that the world will be shocked that you got it? God can give you a light, a shining light, an ideal, a concept, an insight. God can give you something that the world will be like, how in the world did you come up with that ideal? Oh, my God. And it comes successful. And you say, how did he do it? And you say, God, I give you the glory and honor. He gave you that ideal. He's shining the light. See, the one reason you want to be righteous is because you want to hear the light. You want to hear God's voice to tell you something to do that will bring success in this world. He can do that. He can tell you an idea that will bring, he can tell you something to stop doing in your physical body that can bring you health in your body. The shining light is the light that shines. The reason you be a Christian that God can give you a shining light. The reason you be a Christian is sometimes if the world says your life is over, that's when God say, I show you who I am. And when he shows up and the world says it's over and God shows up, he will take you higher beyond what you can imagine. But the light in you, that's what gives you the hope of glory. God's light in you. Say this with me. I have God's light in me. That's the hope, the light, peace on you, the light of God in you. When you can hear God and hear his voice, and the voice of a stranger, you won't follow. The voice of a stranger is something contrary to what the word of God says about you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you have faith in you, you constantly hear that God, if you begin to hear that every day, you're successful. Hear every day, you will win. Hear every day that God loves you. Guess what? You start believing that. But if you start hearing negative things about yourself and accept things negative, guess what? You believe in that. If you go around every day and say, I can't make it. I ain't going to win. This life is too hard. Guess what? You start believing that. You must speak God's word over your life to bring success in your life. Because if you believe it, it can happen. God wants it for you. But you have to believe it for it to happen. I realize there's three things in life. God for you. The devil can't stop you unless you don't know who you are. And guess who else? Who else left? You. If you don't think you can, if you don't think you can succeed, if you start doubting yourself, then the devil now says you're not going to get to the full potential on what God wants you to have in life. You must believe that. Now, we're going to hit on it because we got much longer. I'm going to keep like 30 more minutes. We're going to get you out of here. Go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Just some things I'm going to show you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. There's hope in you. There's peace in you. There's God in you. There's love in you. It says 1 John 3 and 7. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteousness. So how is this? So if someone just doing good deeds, they're not righteous, right? A person that has Christ in them, righteousness now is in them to live right, to do right. I can remember when I first got rededicated to God, I just tell you that all the time. I had hookups everywhere. I had everywhere. I can go somewhere and get a hookup. I can go somewhere and Hey man, I ain't got to pay for nothing, everything. And I started doing it. The Lord got on me and said, ah, you can't stop doing that. Why? Because it's like you're stealing. If it ain't came from the head on down, you're stealing. Now, if I didn't have Christ in me, the righteousness rose up to say, it makes you want to do what's right. You hear what's right to say, oh, man, I can't do that. Why? It's not because you think you're better. It's because the righteousness done rose up in you to say, I can't keep doing that. Because the end result is something that's separating me from God, but it's not. God is trying to get that out of you so you can hear his voice. Does that make sense? God is trying to get that out of you so you can hear his voice. So a righteous person, when righteousness is in them, Christ is in them, they begin to change. Not to think they're better, but they're becoming better because Christ is in them. They say, I can't do that no more, man. Why? I don't know, man. I just, God in me is changing you. So if Christ is in you, you should start requiring, you should start seeing some change. I'm just hitting some scriptures. Go to Isaiah 33:15-7. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Isaiah 33:15-7. When you have, say amen. Isaiah 33:15-17. It says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands for holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing the blood, he shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. But I like that he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. Walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. Let me say something else. When you become righteous in Christ, you know something that becomes a bothering to you? A lying spirit bothers you. That's something I just don't like. I'd rather you tell me the truth straight up. As you get more in Christ, a righteousness in you don't like a lying spirit. When you see somebody just lie for no reason, you go, why you got to lie? Just tell me the truth. Righteousness in you don't want to lie, want to tell the truth. Amen. Anytime you're lying, you're covering up something that ain't, you know, you're hiding something, and eventually that's going to be revealed. So righteousness in you doesn't want to cover up, not a lying person. If you once was a liar, you don't want to lie no more. You're like, I don't want to lie. That don't mean you ain't never lied. It might lie still, but you don't want to do it. It's righteousness in you to say, I can't just do that. Because the righteousness in you rises up in you. If you didn't have that in you, you could do it with a straight face and think nobody know. But God know. Righteousness in you wants to do things that's upright with God. Go to Psalms 106:3. I'm just showing you scriptures. Psalms 106:3. It says, blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteousness at all times. See, righteousness could be, you could be, have a business deal and you can make thousands of dollars more, even millions of dollars more. And it's crooked. A righteous person doesn't mind making money and doing, but a righteous person to say, I'm not going to do that because that's not right. Because the God in me has rose up that I need to do the right thing. Because let me tell you something, the end result, if the devil got you doing unrighteous things, when things come down on you, to try to destroy you, if you sow the seed of the unrighteous things you're doing, then the devil's job is to kill, steal, and destroy. That means you could have lied about something or did something you wasn't right, and it finally come back on you, and you got to pay the piper for it. If you do it the right way, have the integrity the right way, have the character to do it the right way, at all times, that does not have to be on you. Amen? Righteousness is for peace of mind. Also, righteousness is for you to do it that way when you have God in you, so eventually you can hear that shining light, as we say, see that shining light, and God can show you a way of escape every single time. I'm getting to something. Go to Romans 8:4-6. Romans 8.
verse 4 through 6. It says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? For they that are the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For the carnal mind is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Another form, but to be carnally minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So I'm going to say this. Another thing, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if you read this whole scripture here, when you have a carnal minded person is someone who doesn't know Christ. When you have a spiritually minded person is someone who's been born again and know Christ. When you have a spiritually minded individual, that's not floating or nothing. That's saying I live by what the word of God tells me to live. Christ is in me. That is a person who won't allow the flesh to completely control them. I'm telling you this for a reason. God is trying to get us to a level. It's stuff I'm believing God for that I see happening. But one guy to say is check your heart. A pure-hearted person, when it comes to the kingdom of God, will have righteous success. Now, the world may say, do what you want to do. You ain't anybody going to see. Be sneaky, be lying, be conniving. That's what the world does. But a person that's connected to God is going to do the thing that's what's right, and they're going to find success in that. Do what's right. A form of integrity is do what's right when nobody's looking. That's integrity. I've been a supervisor, man. You be around folks, they doing their job, and you go around the corner and look back, they sitting down. That ain't integrity. Integrity is doing it all the way to 100% when ain't nobody looking. You doing everything because you're doing it unto to God. So when you see your life, the reason you want to be righteous is, of course, to get away from hell, yeah, but to have peace with God, to hear God, but also to bring success in your life, to be known as a person of integrity. To be known of a person that has character, not is a character. You know, meet folks, they characters. Say they're going to do something, don't keep the word. Always lying about everything. Sneaky, snaky. Do you have character or are you a character? You got to make a decision that I'm going to have character and not be a character. And if I have character, I have the character of Christ in me. I'm known to be a righteous person. That's success. And when you get success God's way, guess what? The world can't take it from you. Somebody have a bunch of material things. And all. Nothing wrong with having material. I believe in that. Nothing wrong with having a nice thing. But if you do it the ungodly way and you finally get caught, everything, you lose everything. Why well, I lost everything? Because you did it the wrong way. You do it the right way, man can't come take it from you. Things can't happen in your life. Go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. I don't know why I got the purpose of doing the right thing. When ain't nobody looking, that's integrity. That's character. Have those things. So really, you're not worried about what man says. You're looking at if God watching me and the small things I do and I come faithful over that. He said, if I'm faithful over a few, he'll make me rule over many. So if I'm faithful over the small things, like getting up, going to work on time, small things, getting up and doing what I'm supposed to do on my job, and you believe in God for something bigger, God can start rewarding you once he sees what you're starting to do with the small things. Say that, small things. It's what I do with the small things, how God can make the bigger things come in my life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. What is the fruits of righteousness? The fruits of righteousness come from God when you want to do what's right and right things as a Christian. That's the fruits of righteousness. Fruits. You know how the word say taste and see that the Lord is good? If you're a Christian, somebody should see your fruit and don't have to see your acknowledgement.
You know how you meet some folks sometimes, you know, oh, how you doing? Blessed of God and highly favored of the Lord. Hallelujah. Ain't got no fruit or nothing. Ain't living nothing righteous. Ain't doing nothing lining up with God's word. Everything, but they say in a religious way. The fruits of righteousness, we should know your fruit. We should see some fruit about you. When you go out in public and you buy fruit, you see that good looking fruit and you pick it up and you eat of it. It's good fruit. Who want to buy rotten fruit? Nobody want to buy rotten fruit. A righteous person, the world should see something about you different that stands out. They say that person there is a Christian and you ain't got to say nothing because your fruit shows who you are. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Your fruit. What kind of fruit you giving out? You're saying you represent Christ and all. What kind of fruit are you showing? Are you showing the fruit in God in what you do? In your everyday walk. Not when you come to church on Sunday. Not even when you come to Bible study. If you come to Bible study, you're trying. But if you come to the fruit, we're looking at your fruit. God looking at your fruit. You know, you meet folks sometimes and I grew up in the city. They godly. You watch the fruit. Know them by their fruit. If they ain't got love on them, I don't care about all that religious stuff. You know who I am. I'm Bishop such and such. You know, I'm watching your fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is what? Love. Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Guess what else? Another fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the fruit of Christ or the fruit of righteousness in you is you should have love in you. The love of God in you. You know, the biggest love is in you that you start to change internally. Nothing wrong with external stuff and looking nice and doing your hair. You got to do all that too. But internally, you become another person because of Christ in you. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. If you ain't got no love and joy in you, why would somebody want to be like you? People watch people. You want to come to my church? Why? Every time I see you, you ain't happy. You ain't got no joy in you. You ain't got no peace on you. You ain't always going through stuff. You always begging for money. Everybody don't want to be that. But if you got Christ, it should be some fruit of the Spirit in you. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Long suffering don't mean walking around suffering either. It don't mean you ain't got nothing. Let me hold $2. Long suffering means you suffer and saying, you're suffering and buffering, thank you, Lord. You're buffering the flesh to believe what God's word says. That's long suffering. You keep believing. Keep believing. See, some religious folk make long suffering. Like, oh, Lord, I'm suffering because of the righteous. Go, thank you. Can I get $2? Why would we want to be like that? Long suffering means you're buffering the flesh to say, what does God's word says about me? And that's the long suffering. And then you got gentleness, goodness, faith. Meekness, temperance. Another form of righteous person, you have temperance. I used to be a man, used to have a rough temper. You say something, I'd be the first one to knock your head off. But as I got in God, temperance is something that you grow in Christ. Temperance, when someone says something to you, you stay the same temperature. What I mean by that, somebody could tear you off, and you'd be like, you know what, man, God bless you, brother. You stay the same. A person that don't have temperance, every time you get angry, you lose your temper, every time. Every time you lose your temper, that don't mean God don't love you. It means you're growing in God. That says a man who can rule his spirit is mightier than a man who can rule the city. Guess what? When you can rule your spirit, when someone could say something about you, and guess what? You could look at him and say, I hate you, bro. God bless. Don't put your hands on me, though, but I hate you. That's a fruit. You can't get me upset. Temperance, I hate you. I see some people, they still ain't got temper. Temperance, you don't lose your anger so quick. Get frustrated so quick. Tell somebody off in the flesh so quick. When you have that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's a fruit of growth. And as you grow in God, because God don't want, remember, he wants the best for you in every area of your life. And if you see, if I get this fruit of temperance, that I can control my anger and my temper, now God is trying to protect me from different things in my life. That's the reason you need Christ. He helps you to change and become more a person, a better person. As you got Christ, you should be getting better. You should be improving. And when you start seeing that, you're getting improving, because guess what?
God don't want that spirit to stay in you. He wants you to be more and more like him. That makes sense? And when you look at that and you start changing, you start saying, you know what? A person who's mature is not the age, is when you change. A mature person changes. I remember when you used to be better. I'm better now. Man, I remember you. I'm better. Terry, I remember you. Yeah, you remember. But as I get older, I should be getting better. I should get more wiser. I should be getting more mature in things that used to affect you even a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You're different. That's improving. In the same scripture we read, see, Philippians, what was that in? No. Philippians 1:6 says, go there real quick. Go back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Now I'm going to hit this other story when we're ready to get you out of here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. When you get there, I want you to read it. Because this is what God wants in you. When you have it, read it for me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you, in who? In you, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident. So he began the good work. The process has started. So when you accept Christ and the righteous person comes in you, Jesus comes in you, the process has started. Now you must feed your spirit daily, constantly, so you won't always walk after the flesh. He began the good work. Now he said he will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means if you die, you leave it. But during this process, you're continually growing every day. You're growing every day. He began the good work. He began a good work, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the good work began when you accepted Christ. Now he wants to perform it in you. He wants to make you like him. He wants to make you in his image. That when someone see you, see what's wise, I don't know what I had in there, temperance is important. When you can control your temper. You say, hey, God bless you. I ain't even gonna let you get me upset. That takes strength from God. I like movies. I remember a movie out there. Well, we got the thing where we took it down. A movie, Gladiator, I like, a movie called Gladiator. And one time, something was going on, and the guy, Maximus, had a bad scene where the king was trying to get him to go off and act the fool. He had the strength to beat him, but it wasn't the right time to do it. And Maximus took his head and bowed, when everybody all around him, he took his head and bowed, and he said, your time for honor yourself will soon be over, sir. That took strength. Sometimes you could be going somewhere on the job, the boss saying stuff or people saying things. As long as they don't put hands on you, you got to learn to say, you know, the strength there, hey, bro, hey, God bless you. It takes strength to take temperance and control. Like we said something about Wednesday, a person can react or you can respond. Reaction is jumping in the flesh. What? Knock you? Any day you drop that? That's reaction. Responding is to responding what's in you. Christ is in you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Responsibility is responding to the ability that's in you. So if God is in you, you don't have to always react. You can respond. Reaction. That's reaction. Responding. Hey, God in me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I ain't got to let you get me upset. I hear you. That's responding. So you can hit the reaction button or the responding button. The reaction is the flesh, constantly. The responding is say, God is in me. I ain't got to get upset. I'm more mature than that. I'm growing. I'm growing in God more and more. Reacting, respond. Don't keep reacting. Respond. And when you can respond, you'll be a stronger, more mature person, meet and fit for the master's use. And God could take you other ways that I can elevate you in life. He want to elevate you. He want to see, can you handle this here and handle that there? Like I told y'all, when I wasn't looking for that, when I won that award, or when I went to training, out of 109 officers, got the top leadership award. Wasn't looking for that. But guess what? I wasn't like that 6-7 years ago. God had to develop me. With times, I had to learn. When folks say something to you, hey, man, God, all that is a development of who you are.
Because God is trying to take you higher and higher and build you up. So as you develop in that, you become more of a stronger person on this physical earth. Now I want to show you somebody real quick. We got time for time control. I don't like to hold you long. Somebody in the Bible that we know about that was a powerful person. Paul. Go to Acts chapter 9. Saul was translated to Paul, but Paul, and I want you to read your Bible for your time's sake, because at church I can't cover everything. You got to take the time and read it for yourself. Paul, or Saul, was a Christian killer. He was a person that killed Christians for a living. Paul was an educated man. He was smart, but he thought it was okay. He thought that God wasn't real, so he was killing folks that believed in Jesus, believed in God. But I'm going to read you the story. But something happened to Saul that he encountered Christ. And when Saul encountered Christ, that same person that was a Christian killer was converted and started preaching the gospel. See, that's something that the evidence of when Christ comes in you and he really changes you, you become a different individual. Go to Acts chapter 9 and you got to study this out. Everybody know the story of Saul, but I want you to study this out for yourself. And it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, this is Saul, went into the high priest. He was a Christian killer. And the desire of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them to bound into Jerusalem. And he was like a bounty hunter for folks who were serving Jesus. He was totally against it. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but not seeing no man, because Jesus hadn't died on the cross. So it was an audible voice that they heard. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes was open, he saw no man. He was blind at that time, physically, but not spiritually. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And unto him, and said the Lord, and said the Lord in the vision, Ananias, and said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire unto the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he seeth the vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man. In other words, I heard about this man. You want me to pray for this man? You want me to explain stuff to you about Jesus? He said, I've heard about this guy. And he have done what he had done to saints of Jerusalem. How he was a bounty hunter. He was a killer. And you want me to pray for this man? And here he hath authority for the chief priests to bind all that call by the name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And I want you to read this on your own time. I'm going to read the whole. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put things his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto him in the way of thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive the sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, his blindness was gone. And it had been scales, and he received sight from with and rose and was baptized. Now, I read this on your own because this story is powerful. I love it. Here go a man who was a Christian killer. He was on the road to kill Christians. He was a bounty hunter. He was going to get some more Christians and round them up. And as he was going to get these Christians and bound them up, he come into an experience with who? With Jesus. Let me tell you something. I pray that everybody here, or everybody you come, if you come into contact with Jesus, what happened with Saul, if you read through the Bible, Saul, he changed. How did he change? Becoming a Christian killer, he started talking about Jesus to everybody. And he started talking to folks about Jesus to everybody. Everybody wondered, how can he be telling me about Jesus? This same man killed my mother. He killed my brother. He's a killer. How are you going to tell me? I heard about this man. You're a killer. And Saul was so converted in God, he said, I wronged no man. He said, how can you say you ain't wronged no man? And you used to kill Christians. He said, God, as Jesus is in my heart. The righteousness of Christ is in me now, and it changed me. And I'm not that person I once was no more. So I'm telling you now about Jesus. Let me tell you something. It could be things in your life, my other people's life, that you're doing or have done. And the world may look at you and say, how can you say you love Jesus? I know what you used to do. I know where you come from. I know how, but when Christ come in, you can say that person now is dead. There's a new person in me that's resurrected. The Spirit of God is in me and has changed me. How can you say that? You used to be on drugs. If Christ really gets in your heart, there's a change that's there that makes you different than before. And the world, they look at you and go, how can you say that is the reason of a righteousness of Christ in you? Saul was once a Christian killer. And if you read about Saul, which translated to Paul, Paul wrote over 3/4 of the Bible. That powerful. But he came into the road of Damascus and experienced. I tell folks this, you need to get an experience. See, Terry Mitchell had an experience. That's the only thing that made me different. Not religion. If it was religion, I'd still be the same person. An experience brings change. Say it with me. An experience brings change. He had an experience. He started to change. I didn't say perfection, but a change. I once was blind, but now I see. What that means spiritually, I once was lost, but now I'm found. That means you was lost and you didn't know Christ. You've been found. God was never lost. You was lost. And when you found him, you start finding that peace. You start finding that joy. You start finding that even your countenance started to change. I go for a place, I see folks from 20 years ago, man, you don't look, man, you look like God in you. The peace of God on you. Man, you look, you, hey, what you doing? God in me. And that old guy, I ain't ashamed, man, I need God, I don't need to drink, I don't need to do the weed, I don't need none of that. I got God in me, man, I got peace. Man, I could tell, man, you don't look your way. I don't take no glory for that God. So when you have God in you, he elevates you up in a peaceful person in your life. And when it is time to go, amen. But it's too much in you. You got to see yourself succeeding. He's there. He wants to take you beyond what you can see in your life. Last scripture, we're going to get ready to get you out of here. So I wanted to remind you that God loves you. I want to remind you that God wants you successful. I want to remind you that God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins and set you free. But if you tap into him and let him show you every aspect, go to John 16:33. We're going to get ready to get you out of here. Let's go on and eat your chicken, whatever you want to do. John 16:33. John 16:33 says, these, and you can read the scriptures on that way. These, this is what Jesus is talking. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the trouble of the world. Say this with me. Christ is an overcomer. That means you can overcome whatever coming your way with Christ in you. You can trouble the trouble, whatever the trouble may be. You can see yourself out. See the devil job and make you think you can't get out. We got the podcast. Somebody could be listening to my podcast. You don't know what I'm going through, life. Trust Christ. Get some peace. Life is so rough. Trust Christ. Don't go into pieces. Keep your peace. And if you have that in you, you'll overcome. You'll come out on top. You look back and say, how I get out of that situation, God? Because he'll give you the strategies to tell you what to do to be successful. He'll tell you every single time. So if you start saying that, believing that, so the purpose for being righteous is not to be Miss Goody Two Shoes or Mr. Goody Two Shoes. It's to be righteous so you can hear God's voice, so God can provide a way of escape, so you can he can tell you what to do. Be ye of good cheer. I have overcome the trouble of the world. Good cheer of good cheer. A good cheerful heart. A cheerful heart is a happy heart. A joyful heart. I tell folks, if you ain't laughing, something ain't right. I love to laugh. I mean, enjoy life, because that's part of a cheerful heart. Having a cheerful, peaceful heart, when you can have that, you can overcome the trouble of the world. You can trouble the trouble of the world when they come your way. And every time you say, I don't care what I'm going through, with God on my side, I'm going to win. I'm overcoming. I'm a winner. Christ is in me. The hope of glory is in me. And when you start seeing that, you win. Part of the winning is seeing yourself internally winning before it happens externally. Seeing yourself internally winning before it happens externally. When you can have it within, then you can start seeing it on the outside. But first, you got to believe in here. Believe it. That's why you come to church. That's why you read the word. That's why you build yourself up. Because stuff is going to happen in your life. But it's how you respond. Like I said, not react. Now I respond. Oh, I get out. Okay. I ain't gonna react. What all this stuff going on? I don't know what I'm gonna do. Respond. Well, God give me a strategy, give me a plan, it's the way out. I did something I didn't like. Okay, God, give me a strategy of playing the way out. And guess what? He will always give you a way out. If you believe. Amen. Y'all stand up for me. We're ready to get you out of here. You know it's Sunday. I want you to enjoy your day. Say that with me. Say, Father God, I thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for my sins. I thank you, Lord, that I am made righteous through Christ, that you love me so much, and that perfect love cast out all fear. I will not walk in fear. I will walk in faith and love. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in my sight. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.